Approximately 6,200 tons of glass are collected yearly through the City of Tucson's curbside recycling program. Since 2018, the costs of recycling glass have increased significantly. Tucson is committed to developing sustainable solutions to climate problems, and on this episode, we are exploring one such solution to the waste problem. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. And we would like to start by thanking the sponsor of our show today and thank them for all the great work they do to continue making our community healthier, greener, safer, and for being such great partners of Mrs. Green, the City of Tucson Department of Environmental and General Services. Now, before I introduce my guest, I have a short announcement and an invitation for everyone listening in Pima County because it includes a call to action. I repeat, call to action, and I truly do hope you answer the call. Pima County Environmental Quality has a robust clean air program that includes people asking to sign their Healthy Air is in Our Hands pledge. And here's your why for taking action. By skipping one trip, one single trip in your car, or taking a no drive day just once a week, you can reduce air pollution and greenhouse gases by more than 1,000 pounds a year. And a little added incentive, you could win a $100 gift card. And you know what, everybody? We all benefit when the air is healthier, especially those with heart or lung conditions or who are suffering or recovering from COVID-19. Breathing problems are a really big issue in that arena. So sign the pledge and spread the word. And of course, the link is one click away in the show notes of this podcast. So now let me welcome our guest. We're going to talk about Do More Purple, how a community develops sustainable solutions to waste. And with me is return guest, a good friend, a lover of all things pastry with me, and a passionate planet preserver. Please join me in welcoming Christina Palsgrobe, Public Information Officer, City of Tucson Department of Environmental and General Services. It's great to have you back with us, my friend. This is a major hot topic, agreed?
Oh, yeah. We've been hearing from people.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. And the affirming thing about that is people are paying attention. And Katie, my daughter, and I have been watching some of the comments and the feedback. And you're staying the course, and it's certainly understandable. So let's start with a little background. I know that on Tuesday, November 17th of last year, the City of Tucson Mayor and Council actually voted to remove glass from the residential and commercial Blue Barrel program and start reusing it. And glass is no longer being accepted in the blue bins, but instead collected at drop-off sites across the city. And of course, I'm reading from the announcement, and it's good to give people a background. And that was passed in November and went into effect on February 1st. So can you give us some background on how that decision came about? What's the why?
So since 2018, and we've discussed this many, many times, but since 2018, when the Chinese government adopted the China Sword, which basically told everyone that they were no longer accepting their recyclables because the contamination level was so high. The markets for all recyclables dropped significantly. And then, of course, Tucson was impacted because a third of the world's recyclables were going to China. So we had to take a hard look at how we could maintain our efforts to recycle, but also do so to live within our means, basically, because we are a self-supporting department. And we saw our costs go from, you know, earning revenues that in the amount of about $1.5 million a year to costs of about $4 million a year. So that's a change of $5.5 million. And we had to really look at how we could reduce those costs. So, of course, you know, we went to every other week collection, which we knew would have some impacts, but definitely a savings. And most people's blue barrels weren't full. So it has worked very well. But then we needed to look a little bit closer at the marketing of materials. And as long as I've worked with this department, glass has never been a high market value. In fact, we've never seen any revenue from the sale of glass for recycling. It's also one of the heaviest materials, and it also causes damage to the equipment at the processing facility. In discussing this internally, what would be the benefits? Well, you and I have talked for many years about the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right.
And actually, reuse is much higher on the solid waste hierarchy than recycling. And so, okay, how can we reuse glass locally and keep it local? Because many communities across the country are looking at that. Why were we sending our recyclable materials around the world, basically?
Right. Talk about carbon footprint.
Right. And so, everybody is looking for local and regional solutions. And we got to talking about it. We in Tucson, we distribute sandbags every monsoon season to residents to protect their homes and their properties from flooding that comes from the monsoons. We have used crushed glass successfully in some sidewalk construction. And we definitely have used it for construction projects at the landfill and others where instead of sand, we use the crushed glass, because that's basically what it is, sand, as bedding material for pipes. So there's a lot of local use that we can achieve. And I think when we think about it, that's really environmentally and financially the right thing to do.
And I kind of mentioned that in the intro about exploring solutions, local solutions. And Christina, one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking is with us as Americans, and it's not a criticism, it's just a fact, and I am one of those people, there are so many things that we do that are not really conscious. And of course, I've changed on my journey as Mrs. Green, and people don't think about glass if they just use it and put it in the recycle bin, because then it becomes somebody else's problem or somebody else has to deal with it. And I don't think it's a mean-spirited thing. I think it's just the way we've evolved. And that's the part of this conversation that I like. We have to start thinking of new ways to reduce the first R, and reuse is another one, and recycling is the third R, and it costs money. And especially with glass, like you said, and this is, I'm now switching out many things that come in glass. It's really heavy. It's like literally physically heavy to ship. And I'm sure there's an intensive process for the manufacturing of it. So it's a good thing to have people start thinking about their use of glass in the first place. So that's the plan to, it stopped February 1st, but you have a solution. You didn't just say done, the end. There's a really exciting, innovative solution that you're rolling out. And that's what I really want to talk about. We are going to be able to do more magenta. I said purple when I was interviewing you the other day. It's like we're going to do more magenta. So tell us about what the plan is for glass.
So in order for us to reuse the glass locally, we have to collect it. And we have set up 21 sites across the city with these purple containers, magenta, and they've got little holes cut in them so that you can deposit the glass, and then we collect it and we take it and it'll be crushed and reused locally. And we set up the sites on city properties across the city, and they're really set up so that we made sure that there was a drop-off site within 2 miles of every city resident's, either their home or their workplace. Because we don't want people to make an extra trip
right.
to drop these things off. We really want them to be on your way to work, on your way running errands. You just stop off and do the drop. Because we don't want to add to, you know, the carbon footprint. So we really want to encourage people, you know, there should be one on your way somewhere. And it'd be very easy to just swing in and drop off. I also know we're hearing from people on Nextdoor. It's been great to see because people are saying, you know what, if you can't do it, if you're not physically able, if you don't drive, let me know. I will pick yours up and take it for you. And I have so appreciated seeing comments like that because it's very easy to complain about change. But it's great to see people wanting to be part of the solution.
And that was one of the comments I was going to make. One of my friends had called me, said, what's going on with this glass recycling program? Is this legit? And I said, yeah, it's really legit. So he already implemented that for his, there are some elderly people in his neighborhood. And elderly, I always want to stop and define that. So really elderly, I'm sure like 90 and over. But he's going to have his house be a collection site. And he said, you can either put it on my front porch or I will come and get it. So I think that encourages people to do things on so many levels that it's really another important part of this conversation. So I also want to just press pause here and say for 21 sites to be designated, I want to give kudos to you because it was a very thoughtful plan that required a whole heck of a lot of work, and I know that. Okay, so here's my two-part question. What's your plan for how to handle people who might not have gotten the word, God forbid they're not listening to this podcast, and who continue to place glass in their blue bins? I just have to think that that's going to happen for a bit. So what's your resolution for that?
Well, we know that anytime you implement any kind of plan, and these days, communication is so challenging because people get their information from so many sources.
Right.
So we've been out there in traditional media, social media. We sent a direct mail piece with a map and a list of the locations. But of course, there's always going to be someone who didn't get the message. As we move forward, if we see it, we're not really going to do anything just yet. But at some point, they'll receive a little note saying, you know, glass is not accepted any longer, and so now your blue bin is being contaminated. And, you know, that, but we know it's going to take a while, and I think we're prepared for that. But I've been really excited to see how many people are using the drop-off sites.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you if you've seen it. We're only second week into February. That's very encouraging.
We've gotten reports, this one's full, you need to come pick it up. So that's great.
That's a problem you want to have. That's great, my friend.
We know it's a work in progress. We just started, and we'll be monitoring the different locations, and where we need to put a bigger container, we can put a bigger container. If we're seeing something not being used, we will maybe, you know, look for other locations. And I think it's important to say this is just the start of this. We have every intention of looking to identify additional partners so that we could have more locations, making it more convenient for people.
And it's working.
You know, we're just starting. So it's been a really interesting process.
It's a process, that's for sure. So, my friend, you got lots of feedback. It was a very comprehensive plan to get feedback from the general public. You held town halls, which from what I heard have been very well attended. What are some of the challenges that people have brought up? It seems to me that, you know, one of the obvious ones is I'm blind and I don't drive. And to me, a solution to that is to reach out to a neighbor. But generally, has the feedback been positive? And when there are challenges, what are you seeing and how can you address them?
I think that a lot of times people are just very resistant to change.
So true. I'm sorry that I have to laugh.
It's a change. So they've got to think about, okay, how is this going to affect me? Because I've just been used to throwing everything in the recycle bin and it goes away and I don't have to worry about it. But now I have to think and make a decision, you know, what is, you know, the choice going to be? So, you know, of course, we've heard from people that are, well, what am I going to do? I don't have any way to get to one of these sites. One we hear fairly regularly is, well, you're reducing my service, so are you going to reduce my bill?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's like, if they only knew how much it cost, it's a losing proposition. A for-profit business would close.
Right.
And with how much you lost, you know, let's be honest.
And I think that what we, you know, we try to explain to people, and I think about it this way, you know, as just people living in, you know, in a home. When your home expenses go up, what do? You either look for a way to generate, you know, more income, or you cut your programs.
Yeah, it's not rocket science. You have to change it on one end or the other, right?
Right. So for me, you know, that's how I look at it. Okay, so, you know, when my phone bill keeps going up, I then look at, okay, do I cut my minutes? Do I cut this? Do I cut that? And so this was a way for us to keep our rates stable because, to be very honest, Mayor and Council understandably did not want to consider a rate increase at this time. Too many people are going through enough, you know, with the pandemic. This was not the time to introduce any kind of rate change. And so this was, you know, this was a solution. And, but again, I think as people have gotten used to it, on the comments I've seen on social media, a lot of people understand it. They get it. They say, you know, okay, if we want to keep recycling and we want to do this, then this is what we're going to have to do. And they've been pretty supportive. And you will always have people that, you know, are not going to be happy and say, well, if you want people to recycle, you need to make it easy for them. But, you know, ultimately, it's going to be a choice for them.
Exactly.
Do they make the stop, or do they just put it in the trash? Or do they find a reuse for it in their home? Because I will tell you, we don't have that much glass. I just, you know, had my husband start buying beer in cans.
I was going to ask you about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Not your husband buying beer, but a conversation about other choices.
Right. But, you know, I started saving the jars from pasta sauce because those are great for, you know, storing foods like pasta.
We have totally, totally changed storing to glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and a lot of them really work. So I want to up-level this conversation and kind of get into the what if, because you are a professional in this field, you are part of a statewide and national organization, and it's about the glass conversation. And I went to a locally owned, over-the-top Mexican food restaurant the other day, our family did, and they had outside seating, and one of us went in to pick it up because it was ready. And they had, one of my favorite guilty pleasures is Mexican cola, which, as you know, the difference, they use real sugar,
mm-hmm.
pure cane sugar, not. And it's a guilty pleasure that I allow myself when I go out. And there was a deposit. There was a sign on it, a little label, return this for a deposit. In your crystal ball, do you think any solutions like that are ever going to come about? Like when I lived in Germany, all of our beer bottles, and believe me, it was young military, we were all kids and they drank a lot of beer. I'm not a big beer drinker, but everything was returned in the crates that we bought it, and you got a penalty if you didn't. Do you think we're ever going to go back to a day where soda bottles and maybe beer and wine bottles, there's a small deposit? Because that becomes an industry for people. People make a living off of doing that. Do you think it's going to happen, or is it just not going to work with the manufacturers?
Well, I will tell you, and we've had discussions with Glass Packaging Institute, if glass is clean and not contaminated with other materials, which is something that was happening, it is much more marketable and usable for recycling. And I've, of course, done some reading about, you know, this, and there was a really good article in one of our professional organization magazines about why glass recycling is broken. And where it is most successful in the States is states that have a bottle bill.
Yep. Yep.
Oh. Because it goes back to the grocery stores or whatever, and people do take it back because they want to recapture that deposit that they paid. The glass is much cleaner because it's separate from everything else, and much more usable as a feedstock for, you know, making more bottles. And if they don't break, it's really easy to reuse them because they just clean them and refill them. So I think that, yes, there are states that are doing it. It works really well.
It does work. And I just...
I don't know that it'll happen in Arizona.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment at this time, but it might be a heavy lift. But I'm glad you brought that up because there are states where it really works. And I'm not kidding. I mean, there are people that it becomes a little local business for people that creates, you know, all the creativity. And I also want to add, when you were talking, I was thinking about one of the hardest movies I ever watched was An Inconvenient Truth. It was so long and parts of it to me were so boring. It was inconvenient for me to watch it, but I did. And I'm glad I did. And this is inconvenient, maybe. If you think of it as inconvenient, it is. But like in Taos, where I was for the summer, you not only had to bring your recycling, it all had to be sorted yourself. So my daughter had bins for glass, for aluminum, and then for cardboard. And they were open certain days. And it was packed because that's what they were used to. And I saw a special on San Francisco the other day. They are serious about their recycling. You have to put it in certain bins, and you really do get a fine if you violate, if they find contamination or whatever, they take it very seriously. So I think we're blessed. I think your department was very thoughtful and intentional about how to roll this out. And I mean, first of all, you're my friend, but I would tell you if I was hearing a lot of negative things, and I'm not. And I just think it's kudos because you could have just said, we're stopping. And instead you're offering an alternative. And I hope really people embrace the concept. So my last thing is, you kind of mentioned it, I drink a kombucha every day, and it's a bottle. Someone told me, someone I interviewed probably 3 or 4 years ago, that the day will come that I'll be able to buy like a little packet and put it in a reusable cup, and I'll have my kombucha, which knowing how kombucha is made is hard. But do you think we'll ever move to an economy where we are putting fewer things in glass and things will be coming in powder form? Because part of what's driving that is the cost. Again, the transportation costs for transporting glass, the manufacturing transportation, is quite high. So what are your thoughts about that? This is your crystal ball moment, Christina.
I wish I had a crystal ball. One thing that I think we will see more of, because, you know and I know, there's been a lot of push about also getting single-use plastics out of the environment.
Right.
And so, you know, and we're used to getting water in plastic bottles. Coca-Cola and Pepsi have made efforts to start looking at putting things in aluminum.
That's huge.
So, yeah.
I mean, it is.
And a lot of it is driven by consumers. You know, so I saw something about Coca-Cola went to university campuses And all the young people, college students, they're carrying around their own reusable water bottle.
Right.
They're not buying
right.
single-use plastic bottles.
Right.
So what Coca-Cola did was install these water refilling stations that also let you pay a little bit if you want it to be bubbly or flavored.
I love that. I wish I had one in my house.
I know, me too. But they saw that, you know, young people are conscious about this and they're making a conscious effort not to use single-use plastic. So maybe that's something we'll see. Aluminum is, as you know, highly recyclable and it is recycled very quickly. And so maybe there will be some opportunities for getting your kombucha in an aluminum can.
I think it's really about hope and innovation and creativity. And I see a lot of it. I really do. I've had the guy, Tom Zlacky from, why am I blanking on the name? He's founded the company. And he is, every time I look at his site, and I'll think of it in a minute, they are doing such creative things for recycling and working with companies all over the world, not just here, for for really creative solutions. And he's doing it. I mean, he's really doing it. And I just have to think of what his name is. It's going to bug the heck out of me. But there are big global solutions being worked on. And I think that that matters. I really do, because we just have to have hope about it, because people are starting to care a lot more. And that gives me hope. So what's the best way as we come to a close? Is there anything that I didn't remember to bring up that you'd like to share? Because we'll give the website in the show notes for how people can find it. You can actually download a PDF if you want. And there's really good information on the website about keeping glass local. So we'll have that if you want to say it. Some people might remember it. I wouldn't remember it by the time I got home. But from what I have, it's tucsonaz.gov. It's complicated. And then it says ES.
Oh, no. You can actually just do tucsonaz.gov/glass.
Okay, good. I would just put, you know me, I'm very scientific. I put recycling glass in Tucson and it came right up. So you've got good SEO going on there. So is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
I think, we're working with one of our partners, Tucson Clean and Beautiful, and we're going to be putting out some videos and things to show you, give ideas of how you can reuse the glass, because there's so many things you can do. And, you know, people have time these days and follow us on our Facebook page or Tucson Clean and Beautiful, because we're going to be working on developing just some ideas and suggestions for how people can reuse them.
And I've seen some on Pinterest. And you can be fun. I remember back in the day when I was young, every wine bottle we used, I wasn't a big wine drinker, we used for candle holders, and they got to look cool. I mean, there are creative things you can do. I can use them for plant starters. So I think you're right. Let's tap into our creative side. And the company is TerraCycle. It came to me. This just in, TerraCycle. But the stuff they're doing is with like huge corporations where you get your whatever it is you use delivered, and it comes in a bin. Excuse me, and then you send it back to them. So it's you know, the complete life cycle. It is zero waste, because you're always getting your container back, and companies are on board. To me, that's transportation is an issue. But anyway, I wish you well, my friend, and I hope it keeps going well, and I'm always happy to have you here, and I have not seen you since last March. So I'm hoping that after I get my vaccine, my second vaccine shot this March, that I will definitely see your face in 2021 and we can go to Beyond Bread for a really good cookie or something, because I miss seeing my friends.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I am getting my second vaccine in March as well. So,
yeah.
Yay.
It's happening. It's finally happening. Yay. It just brings with it a sense of freedom. So thanks for all you do. Thanks to people in your department. I know it was a massive effort to roll out what you have. And I wish you luck. And we'll check back, I'm sure, in about 6 months or something when you're on again. And we'll see how it's going.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Get creative, everybody. Okay, take care, my friend. Stay safe.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.